from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Inside the 1 o'clock hour on the fan in New York. You know the number? It used to be 877-337, a 6, a 6, and two more 6s. Nah, now it's 888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson on the fan. Talking to Yankee fans. Mets fans don't call to talk to me. That's fine. Good luck. You've got Mitch Spence on the mound. He's 7-8 with a 4.33 ERA. Facing off against Jose Quintana, who needs a good showing for the Mets to take the series from the Athletics at 1:10 p.m. We got about 12 hours until that gets started in Queens. And the Yankees have the day off. I'll be on at 7 p.m., Yankee fans, with another five-hour KM to AM to get us through the night. And Comic-Con for sports fans is coming up Friday. I'll see you there. I'll be there Friday in between the end of BT and Sal's show and Evan and Tiki's show starting. I'm just going to bop around. Shout out to Fanatics. Hit me up. They gave me a VIP pass for all 3 days. And Sunday, I'll be actually hosting from Fanatics Fest 12 to 3. So if you guys are going, stop by. And I know people are complaining about the prices. I don't know what you guys think these things are for. I don't know, like, how these, like, people are complaining about the prices of these things. It takes money to put on these operations. And now the pictures and videos are coming out. And I was just talking to Dexter Henry, like, they're doing a sneak peek at 6 p.m. tonight of what it looks like. If you look at Michael Rubin and at Fanatics Fest on Instagram, just go look. If you're into WWE, UFC, obviously NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, WNBA, college sports, it's a ridiculous convention for all of that going on at the Javits Center. I was just saying to Dex, like, I'm just happy that, you know, I'm where I am in my career to be involved in it, because I'd be going. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Comic-Con. I've been to Comic-Con. But, like, I think I went to Comic-Con when I worked with MTV. I didn't pay to go. I got in there. But I'm just, I feel blessed, because I would definitely be going to this as a fan. But to be hosting for WFAN on Sunday and to be VIP all 3 days just based off of my social media, the following I've built through going to games, talking sports, being somebody in New York City that people recognize in the sports media landscape is awesome, man. So I look forward to seeing you guys at Fanatics Fest. Let's get back to the phones at 888-808-1019. We're talking about the New York Yankees. The Yankees survive a series against the Chicago White Sox, which, watch, the Chicago White Sox will not play up to any other competition. That was it. That was their World Series. A couple nights ago, the Yankees escape. They pour it on in the seventh inning. Judge makes history. Austin Wells is your starting catcher for the New York Yankees as a rookie. And Oswaldo Cabrera deserves more opportunities. He's been clutch. If they were to make a Yankees DVD for the 2024 season, you wouldn't see Oswaldo unless he was making a clutch play, scoring a run, hitting a home run. I mean, even with his glove at third base, he's been great. So shout out to him. Shout out to Juan Soto, the generational Juan Soto. I think the Yankees are going to try their very best. And when I say try their very best, they're going to be neck and neck with anybody that offers. They're going to match every offer. And if Juan Soto wants to be a New York Yankee, he'll have every opportunity to finish the rest of his career or to play on the New York Yankees as Judge finishes the rest of his career. If you see some of the quotes tonight, Juan Soto saying he hopes Judge breaks the all-time record. And if you just read between the lines watching these games and see how these guys interact with each other. The friendship that Judge and Soto have, if you watch the All-Star game with these guys mic'd up in the outfield together. Post-game, when they ask each other about the next one, how they talk about each other, man. It doesn't strike me like Juan Soto's just here today, gone tomorrow. It strikes me like he can't let it be known that he's enjoying playing with Aaron Judge, hitting in front of Aaron Judge, being a New York Yankee, being in first place because he's a Scott Boras client and he is going to hit free agency. But you can 100% guarantee that the Yankees have a good seat at that Juan Soto table, and there are not too many other teams that Juan Soto would rather leave for. But the Yankees got to give him the loot. They got to run him the money. They got to blank check that boy. It's that simple. It's that simple. Joe is in the Bronx. What's up, Joe? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How's it going?
It's going quickly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Aaron Judge's 300 career home run. Yeah, I was wondering if you maybe have a prediction or a projection for total career home runs for Aaron Judge. I mean, obviously, I think he's going to surpass Mickey Mantle, 536 home runs. Is he on a trajectory for maybe 650?
I don't know. I was just looking at and doing the math on, you know, because Soto said, what if Judge hits 60 every year and he's got another 7 years on his deal? And, I mean, by that time, it's about health. I'm not sure his trajectory. I'm not sure of the math on that. I don't know if he actually is, like, in line to break the record. I guess I'll do some quick math. Rami, maybe if you can look up those numbers as well. But I'll say this about Judge. He's prolific. He's got to this mark. I mean, you expect him to get to 400 quickly, 500 quickly. And if he stays healthy, this is what he does. And if they pitch to him, this is what he does. You think about him slumping in April, which is crazy. You think about all the intentional walks he has, which is crazy. You think about him being hurt and missing all the time last year and even the years before with the rib injury and the hit-by-pitch on the wrist. Like, I don't know. Thanks for the call, Joe. Judge is like something we've never seen. 888-808-1019. Well, I don't think we're ever going to see it again.
I did some quick math, so if he, let's say he gets, I don't know, what, 10 more this year, you think he can get to 10 more?
If they're pitching to him,
yeah,
definitely.
So, and then he averages for the following 7 years, right? He's got 7 years left on the contract, averages 40. That's on the low end, but you assume the back half of the contract, maybe it's about 35, 30 a year, and the front end is he's closer to 50, 60 home runs a year, give or take for injuries. If he averages 40, and he has 10 more this year, that'll get him to 590, which will be pushing 600. At that point, he's going to go for 600, right?
Yeah. And at that point, he's just going to be, I don't know, how old?
39 or whatever.
As long as he can stand in that box and swing that bat, he can be the DH here.
And I'm sure, I don't know how the Yankees feel about it now. I know as a fan, the Yankees should have let A-Rod try and get to 700.
No, they don't. They don't rock with him like that.
I know,
bro.
But like, come on.
No, they don't care about that. They didn't want to see him do that in pinstripes. They got beef with him for obvious reasons.
No, I know.
For obvious reasons, they didn't like him like that.
But the point is,
not trying to do him any favors.
If this contract is up and he's at, I don't know, 580, then the Yankees are going to make sure Judge gets 600 in pinstripes.
Of course, he'll get another little deal to come back and try and go for it, and he's not going to do it anywhere else.
But considering the injuries and considering how old he was when he started, which is a little bit late, it's amazing that 500 is almost a certainty at this point.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy, too. Like, Stanton's at 422.
You would have thought that 500 was a certainty for him.
You just got to where I was going. When Stanton hit 59 in 2017... I was sure that year he was going to hit 60, 61, maybe 62. There was a hurricane. I was supposed to go to Puerto Rico, and I couldn't go to Puerto Rico. My wife and I changed our trip to Miami, and I was lobbying for Miami without telling her, like, yo, we're going to go to the Marlins games. I'm trying to see this guy make history, hit 60, 61, 62. He didn't do it. But I'm literally looking at Stanton win the MVP 7 years ago, what's he, 33 right now? He's 34 right now. And I'm thinking, oh, if this guy can hit 50 bombs a year, like what are we seeing right now? And his body broke down, and he's had a bunch of soft tissue injuries. Judge isn't like him, but like you just, it's got to be a thought in your mind that a guy built like Judge is not going to be durable forever, not going to be playing like he plays center field. This guy's running around. I don't know, man. I just try and live for today in the present time, and it is great what we're seeing out of Aaron Judge. But blessed to see it. We're blessed to be Yankee fans that can go to the stadium and watch this guy hit that many home runs. I said I've probably seen 100 live.
Think about it, though. Last year, he played 106 games, still got to 37. So the point is, stupid. Even when he's been hurt, he's hitting
he's still
enough.
Like at the top of the league.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like, you know, again, this pace is crazy the last few years. If he can keep it up, I saw him. I was at the game that he hit 60, you know, and then Stanton walked it off later that game.
I was at his three-homer game again. I forget who it was against.
Toronto?
I don't know. I was there for all three of them. It's Judge, man. It's Judge. 888-808-1019. I mean, it's not just Judge. We got Austin Wells hitting behind him. We've got Juan Soto hitting in front of him. Those guys have been great. Bobby's in Rockaway, New Jersey. Bobby, you're on the fan.
Hey, Keith. Yeah, I was just going to actually say what you just said, too. With Judge, if Wells is hitting behind him and he keeps hitting the way he does, I mean, you know, for the next few years, especially if he has protection like that, it'd be, you know, I mean, I think it's, I'm not saying, you know, it's for sure because we need, you know, I mean, A-Rod was the quickest to 400, but I know that, you know, obviously the steroids and everything or the PEDs got to him. But yeah, I really just wanted to talk about Wells really quick because obviously we all knew he was a great hitter, but I mean, the way he's improved, especially behind the plate and being able to throw people out. I mean, I remember watching him last year skipping throws to second base.
Mm-hmm.
And now it just shows how much he worked on it in the offseason and the confidence he has. Even yesterday with Nestor, walking out to him when, you know, on a 2-0 count to like talk him down. It just seems like he's already a leader and he seems to be someone who, you know, I can obviously see being a Yankee for a while. I don't, you know, whatever, however the money works out. But he's just someone who I just feel like you have to get there. He has a big swing. But he also, I mean, he has power the opposite way, too. And for a lefty, that's great to go the opposite way and pull it over the short porch.
Yeah, Austin Wells has been great. Thanks for the call, Bobby. I remember when they drafted him. He's a homegrown guy. They have plans for him. To see him mature and become and just be this guy so fast, it's right on time. It's right on time. A back-to-back and a belly-to-belly. Man, in that at-bat, he swung so hard his first swing. The bat, like, went around. Did you see that, Rombie? Like, he swung, like, out of his, like, I thought he was hurt for a second. He, like, lost control of the bat. And then the next swing he makes, he takes it deep, and it's like, yo, Austin Wells is on his way to 10 homers. He's got 9 homers. And Trevino coming back. Trevi's my guy, but Trevi's going to have to just be humble. And I think he is humble. I think Trevi's going to say, listen, I've helped this kid. I've watched this kid. And I got hurt, and this kid really blossomed. I'm not trying to get in the way of that. He'll come in and step in for Carlos Narvaez and continue to be a good teammate and helpful and help Austin Wells. Austin Wells is a much better hitter, and Austin Wells is really coming to his own this season, and good for the Yankees. Because another thing, before we get back to the phones, like, this is what you need. I was seeing people talk about Volpe online and saying, How many free agent shortstops did we pass on for Anthony Volpe? Well, you did pass on Corey Seager. You did pass on Carlos Correa. You did pass on Trevor Story, Javi Baez, whoever, whatever. But, like, it wasn't all just because they thought Anthony Volpe was going to be a megastar in 2 years. They didn't. They signed IKF to be a stopgap. IKF just sucked so bad and just wasn't able to do it for the Yankees consistently that they literally came into camp the next year and they said, all right, it's between IKF, Volpe, and Peraza. And Volpe won the job. And they said, okay, it's your job. And here we are in year two. But it's strategy for the payroll. You're not going to take on a $300 million player like Corey Seager because then that might stop you from signing Juan Soto. 888-808-1019. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, as many people are talking about, oh, man, I understand the, like, Luis Castillo argument. right? But eventually you would have had to pay Luis Castillo too. I think the Mariners paid Luis Castillo. I don't know if that's stopping you from signing Juan Soto, but like, you can't have all of these $300 million players, and Juan Soto is going to be a $500 million player. Danny's in Dumont. Danny, you got it.
Hey, Keith, how we doing tonight? Good night to be a Yankee. Listen, I hate to be a wet blanket on a victorious night, but I think I've seen what I need to see from Verdugo. I know you touched on it a little bit earlier. Wanted to get your thoughts on the Martian. You know, Dominguez maybe coming up, taking some at bats. You know, maybe we slowly wean Doogie out of there. I mean, I know, you know, I was reading Rosenthal's article yesterday. Could save a sixth of Doogie's salary if we cut it by the end of the month. Just something to think about. I'm actually here in Chicago.
Thanks for the call, Danny. Take care of that, bro. Hope you feel better or whatnot. A gout flare up? What's that mean? Something in your throat or your digestion?
Don't you feel it? It's gout? Something with like digestion, but I think you feel it in like your stomach, your foot. Right? Look it up.
Gout flare up.
I think I had to dump him though, because I think he did say an expletive before.
Oh, so maybe people didn't.
So
hear
people didn't even hear what he said. Yeah.
Gout flare up treatment. I don't know if I want to be looking at this right now. A gout flare-up is a sudden attack of severe pain, swelling, redness, and tenderness in a joint, most often the big toe, knee, or ankle. Wow.
I thought foot, yeah.
Yo, a human body is weak. Like, we just have all these random things, bro. We are built to die. Anyway. I just forgot. Oh, so back to Verdugo. Yeah, not for nothing, bro. Like, this series, the way Verdugo started it with the bunt and then the post-game comments, like, he's way too comfortable. And I've said that about a lot of Yankees. I've said that about Gleyber Torres for years. The Yankees used to never be comfortable, right? Don Mattingly telling Derek Jeter, hey, don't walk out here. Run. The boss is watching. Like, two Hall of Famers. I know Donnie's not in the Hall of Fame, should be. But like legendary Yankees, captains, retired numbers, like they weren't comfortable. They weren't okay with being mediocre. They weren't okay. Like the way Verdugo handled that, like, oh yeah, the bunt was on me. You know, it's the first bunt I popped up, whatever. And they asked him about the game. He's like, oh yeah, it's just a normal day. Just, you know, we're on the bad side of it. No, that's not normal, bro, but whatever. Chris Kirschner put out, Alex Verdugo has a .27 on-base percentage since May 1st. Only DJ LeMahieu and Anthony Rizzo have a lower on-base percentage on the Yankees during this stretch. He put that out at 5:08, and I said, yeah, but they traded Greg Weissert for him, so don't worry about that. Never mind that. Like, they die hard in their trades, and that's a guy that Judge wanted, and they're going to see it all the way through for this year. But, like, I'm thinking about, okay, The left-handed bat of Verdugo, the left-handed bat of Trent Grisham. Dominguez is a switch hitter. Is Dominguez, like, that less of a defender than either one of them? No. We saw him play center field last year. He can run. He can catch. He looked pretty comfortable in center. He can't play left right now. You know what I saw, too, tonight? I have my notes. They had Caleb Durbin in left field. We were talking about Caleb Durbin last night. They had Caleb Durbin. I think Max Goodman said Caleb Durbin is starting in left field with Triple A Scranton tonight. It's his eighth game in the outfield this year, potentially another wrinkle to his defensive versatility. Dominguez was batting third in center field. But, like, I don't know. I lean more into homegrown Yankees. I lean more into the Martian, who we've known about since he was 17. I lean more into how potent the lineup could be with that kid's bat versus Verdugo grounding out, popping up bunts, or Trent Grisham chopping at the ball and hitting a home run one out of every, you know, 15 games. I don't know. I don't get to make the calls. I don't have the power. I'm just like you, bro. I'm just like you. I watch the game. I don't know things. I don't know why certain things happen. I don't know why certain lineups are made. I hope for the best. They do things that I wouldn't do. And I realize that's why they're the Yankees, and I'm on the fan talking to you guys at night, taking your calls. Yehuda out in Waterbury, Connecticut, on the Fan in New York.
Yo, Keith, what up?
What up, what up, what up?
A few things. First of all, I'm a huge fan for like 3 years. Always tried calling in. Always said I'm too young. I finally got in.
Hey.
Amazing.
Thank you. You're in there.
First of all, let's go Aaron Judge, 300.
All right.
Yeah. And also, the Yankees got to bring up Jazzy Dominguez.
Yeah, I don't know what. I mean, I guess they're waiting for September call-ups at this point. But I'm like, I want to see another guy in this lineup that's a threat like that. Thanks for the call, bro. Appreciate it. I know it's your first call. But it seemed like there was a commotion in the background, and I'm running out of time. I've literally got 30 minutes from right now, and we're definitely going to break. Mike is in Jersey City. Mike, you're next on the Fan.
Keith, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, with Volpe over here, I know you're one of the bleacher creatures. You're really influential in all the different types of chants that go into the game. We're starting a new one. I'm relying on you to start the new one. DFA Antoinette. I mean, come on. This guy's like freezing cold meatloaf. Get him off the team. Get
DFA
him off the team. Bases loaded. Bases loaded.
Yeah,
that
at bat pissed me off tonight. I will say that at bat was like, I tweeted out, expletive. I was like, come on, man. Volpe, though, he's not getting DFA'd. This guy won a gold
what
glove
heck,
last
man?
Year. His
freezing
defense,
cold meatloaf.
His defense
like
is
to
there.
Call him.
He's got to be better.
Cold meatloaf. Well, more like a freezing cold ham sandwich.
Nah,
you know what I'm
once they took him out of the leadoff spot and put him in the lower part of the lineup, whether they were batting him sixth, seventh, or ninth, he had a little stretch run. And even at the leadoff spot, he had a 21-game on-base streak. Like, he's just streaky. He's not consistent enough yet because he's 23 years old. He's still developing. They're not DFA'ing
him. Come on. This guy's atrocious. He's atrocious.
He needs a break.
To watch in big situations. Come on.
He needs a break, Mike. I'm going to let you go. There's a 0% chance that we would chant something like DFA Volpe from the bleachers. 0% chance. It would never even make, like, if you were to whisper that to one of the creatures, we would just look at you like, what do you want? And we don't get down like that. Volpe is the guy that kisses his NY logo when he hears his name chanted. Volpe is the kid that grew up going to the stadium with his mom and dad who are diehard Yankee fans. One of us. One of us. That's the chant that you'll hear. He's struggling, but he's young. And his defense has been there. He doesn't get any credit for the outs that he makes. He doesn't get any credit for defensive runs saved, those metrics. Like, I think that he's going to come up big. Here's something that I've thought about Volpe. I'm like, I just watched him make the last out so many times or strand runners, and I know it's because he wants to come through. He's got to work. He's got to work on it, man. It's on right now. I'm watching Yankee Encore right now. What are the chances? 2-2 count, bases full, or bases loaded. A sinker in the dirt he chops at to strike out and strand the three runners. And I'm like, I don't know what that swing was. And like the look on his face, he's got to get right. We need that kid. Let's go to the ATL. Adam's on the Fan in New York. What's up, Adam?
What's going on, Keith? Love the show.
Thanks for calling.
I'm going to cut straight to the chase over him. That guy Torres over there in the middle.
We're on one tonight.
Yeah, get Chris ready, man. C-Mac is in the bullpen warming up. Loopy on the late night. For why? For what? Where we going? Like, what's going on with y'all?
That's twice in four calls.
I don't know.
People all sorts of fired up that the Yankees won in Chicago, baby.
Nah, it's not even that. It's like the historic Judge moment, I guess, because, you know, the White Sox are the worst team in baseball. We can't just enjoy the fact that we won the series against them. We got to criticize Volpe and Glaber. And, of course, we want more. I mean, even I leaned into the fact that I feel like Judge deserves more. But why are calling a fan cursing on air? I was listening to Tiki today. Tiki's from Virginia. He says, cussing. He said, I've been in plenty of locker rooms. Guys, cuss. Tiki is so polite and nice. I don't think he uses bad words. I don't think he uses curse words, profanity. I don't think he swears. I think he's on New York radio talking about cussing. Shout out to Teague.
I'm sure when he was on the football field, he let a few loose. No?
Yeah, maybe a couple F-bombs when Brian Dawkins lit him up.
Exactly. But maybe, nah, yeah, just, now I can't see it.
No, nah, now he's a full-on dad. He's a cheer dad, dance dad. Atiki's such a nice dude, bro. Even when I see him around, I'm like, Atiki just always got a smile on. He's so pleasant and nice to everyone. I'm like, how were you, number 21, with those big-ass shoulder pads, making those cuts, taking off, running up the middle? I just like... Can't put two and two together.
I say the same thing to Bilal.
He lived
all the
different
time.
Life.
I was like, dude, he used to lean his shoulder, take on big blocks, and he's the most soft spoken guy, barely ever raises his voice.
You know what?
Swear, very religious.
I was looking at their interview with Breece Hall, and I also watched One Jets Drive today. And like the way Breece Hall presents and the way that Breece Hall talks, you would never know that like he is a problem to tackle. He is coming and he's hunting you down in the secondary. Like, I saw the picture. We have this picture up here right now of Tiki in the Breece jersey. I saw the picture of Breece with Tiki.
He's double his size. It's crazy.
He looks like a D tackle next to Tiki. His arm alone. I'm like, bruh.
And Tiki's thick.
And Tiki's still in shape. But Breece standing next to Tiki, it's like NFL running back from the early 2000s, NFL running back from the early 2000s or 2020s. Completely different. 888-808-1019. I guess we'll take the break here, and then I'll just go straight till the close. Loopy on the late night. For the guys that are on hold, just clean up the profanity. You guys hear kids calling the show, saying they're fans, first time getting on. I got a lot of young guys that listen until 2 a.m. They even probably listen until 3, 4 a.m. for the Chris's show. Like, we got to clean it up, fellas.
Ross's
we got to do
better. Ross's dad is going to be mad because he's on hold now. His dad's going to be mad that he heard the swearing on hold. Because you don't hear the dump, the people on the air don't hear it. But if you're on hold, you can hear it.
Wow, and Ross is a whole 16, about to be 17.
That's what I'm
Ross
saying.
Ross is about to call about Jordan Addison. That's a teaser.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, we're teasing that. I guess we're gonna have some more Vikings conversations on the fan. Keith McPherson on the fan. If you want to join the show, I've got 24 minutes left. 888-808-1019. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer as a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fan.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah. Yeah, Huncho, yeah.
Okay, I'm back. My chain, my watch, my wrist, my right back at it on The Fan in New York. Let's get to the phones because this show will disappear in a few minutes. 888-808-1019. Watch our profanity. There are children in the audience. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Let's get to it. I read an article today, and coincidentally enough, it doesn't hold any water, any weight. The title of the article is Pete Alonso the least clutch player in baseball right now? And Pete Alonso must have heard about this. Maybe that came across Pete Alonso's desk. And Pete Alonso said, who, me? Like the Carmelo Hoodie Mello meme, who, me? Come off the bench, who, me? The least clutch player, let's see. Is Pete Alonso the least clutch player in baseball right now? Nah, not tonight or last night. Pete Alonso came through. Good for Polar Bear Pete, MVP, coming through with four hits, three ribbies, when an article is written, is he the least clutch player in baseball? Nope, not valid. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross is on the fan again.
Hey, Keith, how's it going, man?
Oh, you know it's going. I got to take my one Mets call.
Yeah, here we go. Well, listen, you prefaced the Addison. I've got to bring him up real quick. You're talking about profanity. You know, honest to God, I'm probably the one in the South that's got to watch it myself. You're talking about the 17. My parents are sleeping at least, and this freaking team, this football team I root for, dude, every day you brought up Addison, man. You know, lucky enough, thank God he wasn't the one driving his own cart that they took him off the practice field with. You seen the thing last year, taking his dog to the vet. He could basically repeat it this year in the offseason. Now you see the whole thing with the non-contact injury. They said it's not serious, but, I mean, we're talking about J.J. McCarthy this time 2 days ago. All it was knee soreness, and now his season's over before it even started. So, I don't know, man. They're the epitome of expect the worst, hope for the best.
And terrible luck.
It's just the same old story.
Just terrible luck, Ross. I saw they were putting out there about Teddy Bridgewater and Kirk Cousins and all the injuries that the Vikings have had.
Sam Bradford. Even Kirk last year. And everybody was talking about
Adrian Peterson.
Right. And you're talking about Fanatics Fest. He's one of the couple people I bought the autograph for. And I was just going to tell him, man, listen, he shaped my childhood, but at the same time, you know, he shaped me up. I'm rooting for a team that's basically, you talk about me being 17, I feel like I'm 50, all the misery I've seen in 10 years, rooting for this freaking team. You know, I don't know if you ever seen the meme on Twitter, the flirting versus harassment. That's the perception we got versus Lion fans. Everybody racing to go wipe the tears of Lion fans. Oh, you haven't made the playoffs in 30 years. I would love to have the riddled history of them, or even the Jets. I went on Jets bases. I said there's probably one team that's got a more depressing history than the New York Jets, and it's the Minnesota Vikings. And I stand by that.
Yeah. How's it going being a Vikings and Mets fan right now?
It's the most miserable thing in the world. Honestly, God, dude, if you shuffle that you do like a random NFL and MLB team generator, I don't think you can match up two more miserable, sorry franchises than the Minnesota Vikings and the New York Mets. I can't think of any other people besides me, Gio, and Leslie and Fort Lee that have that combo. I mean, we're the lucky three. I mean, the Mets, God forbid, tonight, you know, you got a break. You got the job done. I see Winker basically tearing the house down after a single with this whole reliever thing. It's a disaster, man. It's just the same running joke every night. And it's just overall listening. I mean, if they take the series, it's kind of like the Angels thing. The Colorado thing, you lose the first one, but you look at it as 2 or 3 overall. Hell, even you guys against the White Sox. But I don't know, man. I just feel like every passing day, like they have a win like this, and, you know, you just kind of see them take their foot off the gas again. I think tomorrow's a day game because of the travel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if tomorrow's a day game or not, but I mean,
it's 110.
Yeah, they got to run it back because, look, it's another passing day and I think at this point you could count San Diego and Arizona out of it the way they're winning. I think they're in a group of their own.
They don't lose.
The 1-2.
The Padres and the Diamondbacks. They want postseason baseball to start tomorrow.
I want the Mets in it. But if we could get that, God forbid, and it's looking like they are going to miss with Atlanta winning all of a sudden, that Padre D-back NLCS, if that happens, man, that would be an all-timer. Because you look at these teams, you're bringing it's like 22 all over again. The whole thing of, you know, the Mets didn't choke the division. The Braves just played historic baseball. That's pretty much, I guarantee you there's someone out there saying the Mets didn't choke the wild card spot. Padres and D-backs just, playing historic baseball.
Honestly,
right,
the Mets did not hold the wild card spot long enough for anyone to even claim
They're playing 500 ball.
They can still get that third spot. I think the Diamondbacks and Padres, they have a ton of talent.
Atlanta's winning again all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Merrill, honestly, I'm not trying to be hyperbole. Merrill should win Rookie of the Year over Skeens. If you look at the numbers, this guy, and I think it's more than the numbers. Like when they were down in Miami, I think he had a go-ahead or tying homer in like the seventh inning or later. Every game of that series, he had the game-saving catch the other night.
Listen, yeah, he's Skeens on one, great, bro. He's balling.
Skeens is coming back down to earth a little bit. It's really close. I don't think Skeens is like by far the favorite to win it. I think because of that, when he came flying right out of the gates, he was looking like DeGrom Jr., and he still will probably be that down the road. But Merrill is really giving him a run for his money, man. If it were up to me, I'd give it to him. Because honestly, I mean, I don't know if you factor in the team.
You have to. I think you should.
It depends on the award, yeah. Because look, San Diego, the second Merrill got on one, he's probably their best bat in the lineup right now. And that's a lineup that has Louis Arraez, Manny Machado. Yeah.
As they're winning every night, he's got a highlighter too every night that's like, a winning highlight. Like, I don't know.
He's incredible. And then we got Francisco Alvarez, 4 for his last 80. But anyway, I know you got more callers, man. I could go on all night.
Thanks for the call, Ross. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I mean, maybe the Diamondbacks and the Padres fall off in September. You just got to control what you can control. Just got to beat the teams that are in front of you, man. And, you know, what Ross just said about, you know, no one can say that the Mets choked away the spot in the wild card because they were barely there. They got it. They had it for maybe like a week or so. Not long enough. And when, as you look at the wild card right now, the when you see that W6 and W3 next to the Diamondbacks and the Padres, they're both +4 in the wild card, the top two spots. Then Atlanta's holding there. And then in the American League, there's been a lot of movement. In the American League, Baltimore and, you know, the Yankees, they keep going back and forth for first place and the first wild card spot. The Twins, who just played a series against the Royals, the Twins are up 1.5 games, but don't look now, the Royals are in that last spot. Max is in Bergen County. What's up, Max? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How are you?
I'm all right. You know, show is quickly passing. I got 10 minutes. Crazy.
Yeah. All right. So I saw a thing on Twitter today about how Bobby Witt and his home versus away splits, like batting wise. So I did a little bit of digging statistically, and I found out that I think the Royals are cheating, actually. So if you look at their batting average, just their batting average, or actually it's all their offensive stats. When they play at home, they have they're the best in the league. They're there, right there with the Yankees, within a few points of the Yankees, offensively. When they play on the road, when they're not home, they're down with the Pirates and the Marlins and the White Sox. That's how drastic it is. The difference when you compare their batting average versus their opponents, or their OPS versus their opponents, and you take the difference away and home, that difference is double what the Astros' difference was in 2017 when they were cheating. It's When they're home, they're 23 points worse than their opponents by OPS. Or when they're away, I'm sorry, when they're away, they're 23 points worse than their opponents. When they're home, they're 60 points better. They have 100 better OPS at home against their opponents. They have the worst ballpark to hit home runs in, and yet Bobby Witt has more home runs home than away. When he's away, he's an average hitter. When he's home, he hits 410, 450. So, yeah, it was very interesting. And I think there might be something there because that's.
I'll take your word for it. Now I'm going to have to look into it because I did notice their home record. Like the Yankees' home record isn't as good as it should be with them having 45,000 fans every game, but the Royals are 38-25 at home in Kauffman Stadium. Yep. Maybe they have some technology we don't know about. Maybe we got to investigate a little bit.
Yeah. It's very interesting that
peculiar.
Especially because
Bobby Witt Jr. Is he that good? He's
recently
pretty good.
He's been hitting like 500 at home. It's insane. But then when he goes on the road, he hits like 280, 290, which is still very good, but it's not 500. Those are two very different levels. And when you look, and like what you said, it's Kauffman Stadium, it's Kansas City, it's not L.A., it's not New York, it's not San Diego. There shouldn't be that big of a home field advantage there.
Thanks for the call, man. I might have to look into that. 888-808-1019. They're in the wild card hunt now. I had a scary thought that somehow the Yankees meet the Royals in the postseason, and then we get the battle of the three MVPs in the American League. I don't know. If they're cheating, they won't get suspended. I saw somebody put out there again, anytime somebody gets suspended, you know this is coming up. Somebody said, Jaron Duran got suspended more games than the Astros for cheating. Kevin is in Bayshore. What's up, Kevin? You're on the Fan next.
How you doing, Keith?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Trying to talk. I know you love your son and all that, and same here. I'm a few years ahead of you, and my son told me he wanted to go see a ball game at Fenway Park, so we drove up yesterday. I'd never been there. It's beautiful. Amazing ballpark. Boston does something that is great. Their ballpark's in a great neighborhood. Everything around it, beautiful. And what do we have? Yankee Stadium and Flushing.
And they block off the streets up there, right? Like, there's a whole a walking area where they can't drive through.
There is, yeah. And that was very annoying for the GPS, by the way.
Are you a Yankee fan or are you a Met fan? What team are you a fan of?
I'm a Met fan, and my son, inexplicably, is a Phillies fan.
Okay, and they just played the Rangers?
They did. They played the Rangers. We saw them last night. They won, I think the final was 9-4. It was a great game. It was an awesome time. It was something me and my son will never forget. Neither of us are Boston fans or Rangers fans, but the experience was amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I know I'm going to end up going. I've just put it off because I have a...
No, you should. It's... wait a couple of years. Bring your son. It is...
I hope he likes baseball. I hope he wants to go, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised when he told me 2 weeks ago, I want to go see a game at Fenway Park. I'm like, okay, let's go. And we looked at the schedule, and I got a couple of days off from work.
Good dad.
Well, yeah, let's go. We'll drive up. And, you know, his mother wasn't thrilled about it, but whatever.
She was overruled. Thanks for the call, Kevin. I'm running out of time. 888-808-1019. I just haven't gone to Fenway. I've been to 17 ballparks. I don't rock with them. And, like, back when Adam Jones was talking about people yelling the N-word at him while he's in the outfield, I'm like, younger me, I can't go there. Like, I could not go there. The way I used to drink, the way I used to be in ballparks, I'm like, this is not going to end well for me. I'd end up in cuffs and... the nearest precinct. Like, I just can't go up there.
It's such a pure baseball experience, though. Like, similar to
Wrigley,
Camden Yards.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I
stuff
get the
like
cathedral part of it.
Yeah.
But it's like, when I look at it, the seats are so small. Their fans are so corny. I don't want to hear Sweet Caroline. I don't like the Red Sox. I'm just not like that. Like, I came from section 203.
With you. I come back. I don't have money with me.
You don't have to give me money right now. You gave me 15 already. But all right, go ahead. I'll wait, Jack. I'll wait. All right.
Rob is in Babylon. Rob, you're
hey,
on the fan.
Hey, Keith, man. Man, good to talk to you, man. Hey, listen, Keith, man. Popcorn, Rob. You know who it is, right, Keith?
I was about to say, my man Popcorn. When I first went to you, I heard the voice. It didn't say Popcorn, Rob. Been a minute. Get your popcorn ready.
You better. Hey, yo, Keith, man, thanks for taking my call. And then I just wanted to say, man, about our buddy, your buddy, actually, Aaron Judge. Like, I remember I was critical about the fact that they was, you know, ready to sign him and stuff like that for such a big deal. And
you
stuff
want him
like
to sign
that.
Soto? You want him to give Soto $600 million?
I mean, it's always been a thing with me, Keith, that it's just too much money that you're talking about that guys will never get an opportunity to spend. So wouldn't it be wiser to, like, even like how, you know, few players did that where they, you know, took
Jalen Brunson?
Say it again?
Jalen Brunson?
I mean, there's a bunch of guys. No, said
guys don't take less money in baseball.
Yeah, but why not? I mean, first of all, you don't put as much time and energy into, you know, back and forth.
Rob,
you know,
I appreciate you. I don't have the time and energy to have this conversation. I got 2 minutes left. Chris is in Bergen County. Chris, you're on the fan.
What up, eh? What's going on?
Got to you. You know, hanging out.
I see. Your second Mets caller tonight. Me and Ross, that's it.
My guys, Bergen County guys.
But listen, I was just going to say, what was this, the Bergen County half hour kid?
Yeah, Ross goes to Bergen Catholic.
I can't even say that name, dude. I can't even say it. It's a banned word. It's Oradell.
My bad for saying it. I should have hit the dumb button on myself. I should have cleared that.
Nah, it's all good. It's all good. Yo, I'm all for letting kids pick their teams, but, you know, that that man, he can't let his son be a Phillies fan.
Yeah, no, like, especially if you don't live down there in, like, South Jersey and, I don't know, I would try and talk him out of that.
Raritan? Yeah, all right, go for it. Do whatever you want to do. You know what? That ain't Jersey anyway, but it's all good. Oh, my God. Anyway, what's up with my Mets? What are we doing?
Alonzo night. We had to get one of those nights. Lindor coming through. David Peterson, unsung hero. Mark Vientos getting, I mean, Nimmo, McNeil right now, they got to get their act together a little bit. But I feel like Austin Adams woke the team up. Seeing somebody mock you like that, you know, curse absolutely at your players like that, it got them to, like, lock in, and they came out and put up 9 runs tonight.
Everybody's so pissed off about that.
Because it was out of nowhere. I don't think anybody was thinking about that guy being cut in spring training but him.
No,
And he got those outs, and he let everybody know about it, and everybody in baseball saw it.
He remembered it. Hey, listen, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. I don't care. We're good. But anyway, all right. Have a good night, man.
Thanks for the call. Last call goes to Devin out in Seattle. You got it.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
Good. Go, go, go.
All right. I don't like Ryan Rucco in the booth. The guy's terrible. What's happened to the Yes broadcast?
He's going to be back doing WNBA. The WNBA is on a break.
Oh, my God. Rucco will be back.
Kacer needs vacation time. Thanks for the call, Devin. Rucco is a good dude.
I love Ryan Rucco.
Yeah, I was on live talking about how August is the Sunday of summer, and Evan gave him credit for that. And I text Rucco. He texts me right back to say his mom came up with it, but he used to say that on the ESPN show with, you know, Greeny, Mike and Mike.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. Fordham guy, Yes Network guy, solid guy. Has always been nice to me. It is what it is. Kacer needs a break, and he'll go back to WNBA. Chris McMonagle's up next. I'm out. Bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.